Hey, renovators, welcome back to the Renovating You and Me podcast show, whatever you want to label it. It has been a hot minute. Actually, it's been many minutes. It's been 10 months since you have heard a new podcast from us. And I'm sure some of you are wondering why. I mean, the last episode had a lot of people tuning in to it. People visited that since we have stopped recording and paused. It has been a journey, and we're going to discuss some of that journey with you guys today. It has been a transition. You will notice that there are a couple voices that are no longer on this podcast, and there is a new one that has been added. So we are excited about this. I'm excited about it because it's kind of, I don't know if I want to say a dream of mine or something I never even considered to dream, that my son, Alex,
hello,
is now also engineering and on the podcast.
I've been promoted.
You have been promoted. It's taken a minute, but yes.
A little bit.
As most promotions take, right?
Well, you know, financing, forms to fill out and all that.
Exactly.
Had to go through this whole thing.
Interviewing process, all of it.
Uh-huh.
So we are excited for this new season. Some of what has transpired we're going to talk about, because I think not only is it important when faces and voices and names are different in a certain setting that you're used to for about a year and a half, it's also important to kind of say, how did all that come about? So I just want to share some of my journey with you on that. We're also going to talk about some of Alex's journey and just how God moves in us. He works in us. He is in it all, even when we don't know what is going on. I've heard me use the saying, the what the freak moments. Well, I feel like in some ways, it's been in some ways one big what the freak moment that God has said, you know what, trust me, it's going to be okay. So I do want to officially just welcome Alex. Are you going to go by Alex or Alexander on this?
Yeah, we'll go by Alex.
I don't think I could go back to calling you Alexander. I'll tell you on this. I remember I named him Alexander. He's my only son. Only child. I remember I named him Alexander Richard. Richard was after my dad. That was his middle name, who died shortly after Alex was born. I love the name Alexander because it means helper of mankind. And that is so my son. I wish all of you could meet him. People love him. He's an awesome individual.
Don't inflate my ego too much.
I got to be real. So we're just starting this out. Don't get used to it. All the other podcasts won't necessarily sound like this.
I see how it is.
Exactly.
Well, one thing I want to make sure we reinstate here, we got a bit away from it. What are we drinking today?
We are drinking Earl Grey.
And I'm actually drinking some coffee right now.
Yeah, so we're
I'm
doing
a rebel or something.
Yeah, we're doing our beverages as we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's something also that we enjoy, that we share, just a love of hot beverage and just all that. But anyway, as we are going into this, we want to talk about what it looks like to have a season end. Is it a pause? Is it a let's regroup? Let's think this over. What actually is it when those things happen? And in my mind, because this obviously you guys haven't known, but in my mind, it has definitely been a transition that at times was framed. Should this end? What's the end? All the things. And so we're just going to kind of let you into our journey a little bit about what this has looked like. And in some ways too, why it has taken so long, why it wasn't just simply shifting gears and here you go. So we want to talk about change. Change is tough.
Yucky.
It's yucky. It is rough. It is unexpected at times. And I think for me, it was unexpected. And it was also something that a stirring in my spirit kind of began. So I just want to kind of let you in onto mine, being that Alex, and we're going to talk about some of the seasons in his life of journeying and changing as he started his career and things like that. But initially on this, as far as change and Lord, do you want things to continue? Are they going to look different? All of it. And when you are used to doing something one way, it actually will cause fear.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause uncertainty, it can cause anxiety, it can cause discouragement, it can cause loss of hope, It can cause, did I hear wrong? Mm-hmm. Because we look at this life, no matter how much we want to say we don't, we go into situations with a permanent mindset.
But the thing that makes it frustrating then, and something that we've talked about on this podcast before, or at least my mom has, this is my first time talking in person on the podcast. One thing we've talked about before is God is not a God of permanence.
He's not.
At least not this side of eternity.
He's not. He's not.
He's a God of change. And what that means is that many, many times we're expecting for things to stay the same. We want them to stay the same. Mm-hmm. However, very rarely is that God's plan for our lives, because mm-hmm. he's always bringing us to new things, new experiences, new opportunities. And we don't always like that. It can be a really, really disorienting thing. As you can see on here, Bethany and she was only on for a little bit there, but Michelle are no longer going to be joining us on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We've actually kind of been in a transition season of ourselves, kind of what spurred on us saying, you know, let's just kind of talk about this. So we've recognized it's time to move to something else. The issue then is sometimes asking yourself, when is it time to leave something?
Yeah. When is it time to leave? And sometimes too, you know, I think you can actually ask yourselves, and this is something that I have wrestled with as things we go on through this podcast, I'll talk about that. But not only sometimes do the players in a certain situation change, but sometimes the situation is finished. And that is not something that, because initially I was wondering, okay, is it just done? And that, Lord, if it is, I understand why it would be, but you do, and I trust you. So mm-hmm. it has been a 10-month journey for me. So I just want to kind of talk about in my own life how long. In fact, I sat a couple of weeks ago in a hotel room and was just sitting. I had some time by myself where others weren't around. And I was like, Lord, how long has this been going on inside of me? He took me back to one pivotal place, but then he took me back even farther. There is a wonderful ministry called Kingdom at Work. It is in Lubbock, Texas. And I was blessed enough to be able to go and spend a few days there. With that, God was speaking to me in a way in which I didn't expect him to. And so to kind of share a little bit of that journey, when you are one of the opportunities you have when you go there is Holly Beaton-Bow, who is the president, founder's wife, if you will. She takes you through this session of how to hear from God. And she was like, everybody's going to hear from God. And I'm like, well, how can you say everybody's going to hear from God? You know, I mean, what do you know that I don't know? And there's maybe 50 people sitting in the room. And she did that session throughout it. And I'm like, that was like one of the first breakouts that I went to. I'm like, that's the one I want to go to. And I had no idea. I'm gone with my church. You know, we're having fun. We're attending. You know, it's good. She has you sit with a blank piece of paper and a pen. And it's just quiet and says, he will show up if you just listen. I began listening. And what was being told that time, and again, that was a year ago in May, was, Denise, because of your journey, you are looking for security. And anybody who knows me knows my story. You've listened to this podcast. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. I share a lot of my story on here. The shifting of moving one place to another, all the things. I was like, I need to be able to just be. I need to just stay in a place for a really long time, put roots down that would be so hard to be uprooted, that's how secure I am. And my pen started really moving in my hand. Obviously, it was me moving it, but it was the Lord. What I was writing was like very surprising to me, because what he began telling me was, Denise, you are looking to be firmly planted. You are looking for an anchor, because an anchor means stability. It means security. It means no matter what's going around me, I'm okay. I'm just there. The waters can be swirling and all the things, but the anchor's there. The boat's not going to tip. I'm going to be good. And with all that, the next part of it, of what he was telling me, was, you know what? I am not a God of firmly planted. And I just kind of paused there. I mean, I was crying. I mean, it was incredibly emotional for me. because I knew he was speaking to me. And part of me was like, Lord, I don't want to go this route. I don't want to. I want to be firmly planted. He was saying that he is a God of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's moving in our hearts, he's moving in our stories, he's moving in our lives, he's moving in the people that we are meant to touch, and he's moving in our assignment. And he said the Holy Spirit is movement.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, follow. And at the time, I had no idea, but I remember thinking, what's this? Because it wasn't, at the time, I wasn't looking at it as an encouraging message. I was like, what is going on?
It's almost like a proclamation of doom or something like that.
Well, yeah, because for me, it's like, no, I want to be firmly planted. Mm. I want to say I've been here 20 years. I mean, that's, you know, because then that means stability. It means there's not a lot of change, right? We don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
We think of change as a bad thing. Change scares us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one point. And then another point, there was a presbyter that I was listening to, Dr. Tetzola, and it was at my church, and I sat in my seat and I have all these notes, and at the same hotel room, I was like, how long has this been going on? Like, what do I have inside of me? And he spoke, he said it was Dr. Tetzola. And I said, well, how long ago was that? Because you lose track. You know, when you're on this journey, you're like, when was that? And it all kind of blends together. You can't make head nor tails of what's going on. And so I looked back, and believe it or not, it was almost a year ago this month. And with all that, in that, I have many notebooks that I use.
Many.
Many.
You trip over them sometimes.
I have boxes of them, actually. And none of them are all filled. I mean, there's just different. I just pick up different ones. I know some of you who are A-type personalities, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you're sending me already. But
what really sends us sometimes is whenever she has to write something down, it is never in one of those notebooks. The only thing to write down is on a spare envelope from a piece of mail. That is the thing. And I've had to like rip one out of her hands before. Go over, get a sticky pad or like a legal pad. I'm just like, just write on this. It's okay. Because we don't know then. Is this garbage? Is this a precious thing that must be carried on for a long time or something like that? It's hard to know. Sorry, I'm venting a little bit. Repressed things. You're getting to see the real Alex coming out.
It is true. I have a lot of different things I've written things on. And there are intentional times with notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those intentional times. It was not a piece of paper, but it was intentional. I had that notebook with me. And I went back, and it was, again, almost a year to date. And the entire message was on transition. And so with all that, I was taking notes voraciously. I have a lot of them.
As I do.
I was looking over them, and I'm like, Lord, okay, this is something else now that you're speaking. What is going on? So transition can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be open to new,
mm-hmm.
open to letting go, open to timing, open to all of it.
And I think you even really have to. It was one of the things that Tetzola mentioned was you have to be open to feeling the stirring of change.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes, you have to be ready for it. Again, we can be so like our head down, focused on what's going on around us. Many times we are not noticing the things that are going on. For myself, what I can kind of speak into a little bit here, as some of you have maybe heard here and there on the podcast, podcasting is not my full-time job. I would hope not if we've been gone for 10 months. My main job is as a teacher. It's a job that I love a lot, but it comes with a lot of very different things in it. At the time of recording this, we are about halfway through July. What that means is I am in the middle of a transition season. One school year ended, another one is coming up. In the past, it's been a very interesting place for me to be. Whenever a school year is getting towards the end, I guess one of the things I can say is that when it comes to transition seasons, when it comes to ending things, we all know you don't always get to pick things. You don't always get to pick when you're going to be leaving something. We've all been fired before, or we've gone through a period where we're having to leave a job because something has changed in our lives. We're having to move. This isn't like I planned this out several months in advance or something like that. The decision has just suddenly been made for us. And I won't lie, when I was in my first year or so of teaching, this is actually my third year I just finished, although I was a substitute teacher for a very, very long time. There is a whole mourning process that I went through, and it was so hard to honestly describe to other people what it was like. I knew it was coming, had no illusions that, you know, I'm just going to keep these students forever and ever. There's always this thing of, I realize I'm a temporary station for them to be at. And it's kind of, it makes me think of that Carrie Underwood song, Temporary Home, or something like that. This is not the place where they're going to spend their entire academic lives. Some of them I don't want there for their entire academic lives. But you bond with kids. And when it comes to the end, it can be a really, really hard thing to go through. Mm-hmm. There's also been a lot of challenges past couple years. If you've done the math, this being my third year, my first year of teaching was when COVID happened.
Yeah.
So there's been this massive, massive transition season of students in, students out. What are we doing now? What are we not doing anymore? How are we having to change our policies in order to make things work? It has been tough to go through these different seasons. And this was actually my first year of entirely having students in the classroom. And just at the end of it, we ended and everything like that. And it is always a bittersweet moment. Mm-hmm. It's always a time where we're like, I know it has to end. I, in a lot of ways, want it to end. Mm-hmm. But gosh, if I could forestall things just a little bit sometimes.
I think, too, because you can do a lot of things in life, and we can do the checkboxes of life, and I fulfilled my responsibilities. But when you are a caring person, when you are someone who does invest in people, you want to hang on to that. You want to hang on to those moments. Mm-hmm. You want to watch the moments grow. And wouldn't it be great, you're a freshman English teacher, wouldn't it be great to say, I modeled these students for 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cream of the crop, I get to pick my students, and for 4 years, I am the influence, you know what I mean? I am the one, we are sharing the experiences, I've seen them grow, I've seen them mature, I've seen them pick their college, mm-hmm. you know, all the things of what joy that would bring, but that is not life.
Mm-mm.
It is not life, and I think some of us, well, don't like that about life. I mean, I don't like that about life. I mean, I like to know, yep, tomorrow, this is what's going to happen. Next year at this time, yep, this is what's going to happen. And I think that's one of the differences that we have as Christ followers is to say, you know what, I am looking at this life through my lens. And though we even sing the songs of right temporary home, like Alex mentioned, I love the song.
Love it.
It's, you know, it's our temporary home. You know, we're just passing through. Mm-hmm. If we're honest, we live very much day-to-day life as though this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We hold on to this life dearly.
Mm-hmm.
We're busy raising families, and we're having lots of kids, and we're wanting the promotions, and we're wanting to build ministries, and we're wanting to do that all in our temporary space. And I think that sometimes when God comes in to what we think is like, well, I did hear from you, because I think I've mentioned this before. I mean, it took me a whole year of driving by our church for the Lord to say, that's where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because it's a ministry that's going to rock a church because of what it deals with. It deals and goes past all the religiosity and all of the candor of church life and kingdom work. And it goes to that we are wounded people who know Jesus. And we need to heal. We need to have that emotional healing that needs to take place in our lives. Many of us come to know Christ and we stop growing. And so I'm like, it needs to be a very special place to unfold this. I've been certified in it for a while, but it's like, where, Lord, where do you want it? I knew, again, a stirring in my spirit. But with all that, and even coming for a whole year and sitting, it's like, did I hear right? Because we can perceive what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We can listen to ourselves and say it's God, or we can, if we have a something inside of us that's saying, we can say, oh, that's the enemy putting that thought in my head. You know, I got to push through. He's trying to. And many times that is the case. But that's why
it's important to listen.
It's important to listen.
And even on the other side of the issue, kind of going into the, maybe that's just the enemy. Many times we will have moments where we're like, I'm leaving this place. Something happens, we get offended, we are treated poorly, or whatever have you, and we always talk about it as it's the, I'm picking up my toys and leaving mentality. Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like the little kid who, nobody gets anything now, I'm just going away, and there's going to be a big fuss about it here, I'm going to be very loud as I'm doing it here, I will not in any way, shape, or form be the picture of grace. These people have mistreated me and they're going to know about it.
Yeah.
And we especially got to see some of that. It was, I'm sure many of you remember back to the great resignation that we came through, where all of these people online were talking about, you know what, I'm leaving my job. I'm turning in my slip. I've decided that this is no longer going to work for me. They had like these big posts online, these long cathartic, here's what I did on my last day. It was great. They did this thing, and I was like, you know, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm out. What followed that, unfortunately, was a period that many called then the Great Regret, because we'd burned all the bridges behind us.
Yeah, and I think, too, even in that, you know, when we feel a lot of pressure, when we feel uncertainty, when we feel a lot of fear, when we have a loss of control, we've had a lot of loss of control.
Yeah.
Over our lives these last few years, right? We want to be able to control. And as you're looking through this and everything, and it's like, okay, so it's ending or it's transitioning. And for me, I could still feel it inside of me. I'm like, Lord, what does it look like? I'm like, I still didn't know. And I was able to go to an event at my church. It's called The Encounter. I've been to many, maybe like five of them. And each time God has met me so purposely, so intentionally, so loving, so caring. It's a place where you go up and you can have prayer. And there's so many things that go into it. But I went knowing that I could not go up for prayer. Not that they wouldn't have welcomed me for prayer, but what was going on inside of me were things I couldn't even put into words. I didn't know how to say, I'm thinking the season for the ministry that I have brought to this church is ending. I didn't even know what to do. And I remember going into, it's like a 2.5 day event. And I remember sitting in my seat, just like shell-shocked almost of like, Lord, I don't even know what is happening, but I know that you know, but I'm still in the unknown. And I remember asking for direction. And with that, you can grow up and get this word that'll be like in a scroll that these, you know, lovely ladies have written out, have listened to the Lord and have been so intentional with trying to hear from the Lord. And you have no idea which one you're going to get. And in order to get one of those, you go through the prayer line, you pick one up. I'm like, you know what? I can't go through the prayer line. One, I would have been an emotional mess. And two, I couldn't say what was going on inside of me. I knew it wasn't time really to let anyone into that. It just wasn't time because I was still in the process myself. I didn't know what it all meant. I just knew that things were changing. Things were shifting. Transition was happening. And so I remember going up afterwards and I went into the room where, you know, this is a big gathering room and people were coming back from their processing groups, small groups. They had it all divided up. And I went and got a scroll and I remember putting my hand in it. And you know how you do sometimes, you'll say to yourself, I'm going to take that one. It's just like something that goes on inside of you, right? And I clearly heard inside myself the Holy Spirit speaking and saying to me, not that one, this one. And when you're truly seeking him, he does show up in ways that you're like, really? And this is the word that I received. I am making a way for you to enter into your new day where you are picking up new assignments that I'm giving you. And you shall carry my fire, my authority, and my divine intel in a way that you've never seen or carried before. Where the enemy came to take you out, where the enemy came to destroy you in that season, I've used what the enemy did to try and kill you, to raise you up in and with a fortified faith that will not be shaken. And when I sat in my seat and just read that, I just like looked at it. And it was like, okay, I think this season has ended. And just the realization of that, again, not really being able to tell anyone, it was hard. It was difficult. It was private, yet it also affects so many. When you've been a ministry head and you've brought a ministry to a church that has helped hundreds of people, it was like, can this really be happening? Should this really be happening?
Am I being irresponsible? Am I being selfish?
Yes. And at the same time, right after that, I ended up going to a conference, and I'm going to keep this brief, but I think it's important because sometimes we only see the end results. I've been reading books on people who are famous in Christendom, you know, but we only see their works. We don't know the journey. And it's important for me to let people into my journey, the good and the bad and the ugly of it. But for it just to understand that you're not the only one, that because we have a microphone, it doesn't mean that we've got all the answers, but we're just simply sharing our journey. So I remember going, and by that time I was like a mess because it was like, Lord, what is going on? And this was the end of April, beginning of May of this year. And I was like, what is going on? And I remember going, and it was a wonderful experience. It's a ministry called Freedom Academy that Carrie Scott Garcia has founded, and it was founded out of her pain and all of that. And it's for coaching, but it was also nothing like I thought it was going to be because I got coached. I was able in some ways to share my journey very freely because no one there knew who I was. And there's something about that too. You need other people in your life beyond your circle of people, where you can just let it all out there and just be you without having to worry about what are people going to think, who are they going to go tell, all the things. You need to have other influences in your life other than where you go to church or where you go to work. Whatever it is, we become very insulated. And it's like, I just need my people, and it's not healthy. We need to have other inlets and outlets in our lives other than the circle of people that we have, whether we worship with, whether we work with, even family. You need to have outside people speaking to you who don't have any of that. I have a spiritual director that has walked me through this entire process, which I'm so, so grateful for. I don't know where I'd be without her, because again, it was someone I could just be Denise with, not head of a ministry, not a sister, not a mom, just Denise.
And I think what makes this a really big thing, all the things you're saying here, again, ties back to, you can't do any of this if you abruptly leave. There's no time to process. So again, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I can share in this year is, if you have the ability to do so, try and slow things down. It's process through the emotions, feel what you need to feel and everything like that. But also recognize that sometimes we make dumb decisions in the heat of a moment. And you can't always take them back. And again, this isn't going to turn into an after-school special or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just again, as you're hearing us process through some of this here, keep that in mind of, it's okay to take the time that you need.
Yeah. And also, I think as well, too, that, you know, we all go through woundings in our family of origin, in our workplaces, in our relationships, in churches where you have these wounds and these things have happened to you. And if we don't deal with them, they will accumulate. And I can tell you this, that if the Lord had brought all this into my life 3 years ago, there'd have been anger. There would have been, what's the point of it all? I knew I shouldn't have trusted you. I needed to just be in a place, and now you've uprooted me. Here we are again. You know, why do I have to be the one that's constantly uprooted? That's where I would have been. And I would have said, you know what, just forget it all.
How angsty would the Facebook post have been?
Well, if I used Facebook, probably really angsty. I'm not on there that much, but I'm going to start. I know I'm going to start, but that's a good point though, because you can kind of tell where people are. If they're ranting and they're raving and they're calling out people and they're doing all this stuff, they're not in a good place, because again, it's like, it's not meant to air everything you're thinking, everything you're feeling, and you're going from one person to the next and you're spreading all these things and these big stirrings are happening. That is not, I don't read in the scripture that's how God did not incite mobs. Mm-hmm. He didn't incite riots. He came into this world very lowly. Mm-hmm. And as he walked through life, it was very lowly and yet powerful, mm-hmm. yet life-changing. Mm-hmm.
And we could even probably go as far as saying calming.
Very calming.
Yes.
And I think that's why a lot of us love The Chosen so much. Those of you who mm-hmm. haven't seen it, watch it. If you want to, what I believe is a great depiction of what it was for Jesus to walk this earth, even though, again, we do not know for sure. Mm-hmm. But the character, very strong, knew exactly what was going on. But it was everyone around him that was all worked up, mm-hmm. all trying to protect him. People can't do that. What's going on? That's not right. And that wasn't him. Mm-hmm. It was everybody reacting how they think things should go. And so I would not have been in a very good place for that, because I just wouldn't have been ready. And mm-hmm. it has been a journey. And hear me when I say there's been a grieving process that has mm-hmm. gone on, you know, that has gone on through it. It's been a grieving process of saying the same people are no longer here. Mm-hmm. I love them. I bless them. They're, you know, involved in different ministry. For them, you know, that is their journey. My journey is to still continue the message of renovating you and me, right? And so I wanted to just share some of the ending of why there's been silence for 10 months, mm-hmm. why you really haven't heard much. You'll start seeing me on Instagram a little bit. You know, I'm going to ease into that. It is not... It is not my bent.
I've been told that I'll be reporting to that as well.
Yes, so. I asked him, I'm like, please be on it as well, because I'm not someone that says, see me. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean, if I'm honest, that is what the thing of saying, see me, how does my hair look? You know, what do I look like? What does my home look like? You know, all the things. Yet that is where we live in today's society, and mm-hmm. so much. And at the same time, too, just like the podcast, I know other people need to see me and to hear my voice. And so you will be seeing more of that as I get more comfortable with it mm-hmm. and just putting things out there. But I hope that this has been encouraging to you, and those of you who know me personally, who've been involved in the ministry at the same time of saying, you know, what's going on? Obviously, there were only a handful of people that I chose to tell in person, because I'm not someone that will be going from person to person and spreading and this and that. That's just not me.
And we certainly hope that you haven't taken this podcast as our manifesto letter at the end of something here.
Yes.
It was on our hearts of, you know, we were trying to say like, okay, let's start this thing up. What do we want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And what kind of just came to our minds was, let's just talk about transitioning.
Yes.
And I think it is a rough thing. Some of us have left a place emotionally and spiritually and mentally, but we're still there physically. Mm-hmm. And it is scary, downright terrifying at times to pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I know fear is one of the biggest things that can come up mm-hmm. there, especially depending on your personality type, what your story is like. Mm-hmm. So many of us are like, why on earth would I want to leave? Mm-hmm. I moved a lot as a kid myself. Personally, I know it's a thing of like, I feel like I've finally been able to land for a bit. Do I really want to unsettle mm-hmm. everything, start moving around and stuff like that? A lot of us can get caught up in the commitments and mm-hmm. responsibilities that we're involved in there. Like, people depend on me. People need me at this place.
Yeah.
Things will fall apart. Am I being selfish in this? A lot mm-hmm. of us will ask ourselves that. Am I going to just, you know, leave a gigantic, especially if we've like managed to get ourselves to a higher level or something like that, am I going to leave a gigantic hole behind me?
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's something too, why it was very, very prayerful for me. Mm-hmm. And even at Freedom Academy, I was just like, that was the main thing, was all of this for me, mm-hmm. of Lord, help me to process this. And that's why I really look at it as a transition. I am bringing a lot of goodness with me that I have had from my church. I'm mm-hmm. having some experiences, and not all experiences are going to be great. No. And that, I mean, that's just life. Mm-hmm. But I choose to walk in the goodness of what I have experienced, what God has done. And it's important for me too, those of you who are listening, that you weren't one of the small group of five people that I actually personally sat face to face and told. Know that this is not something that I'm saying I'm done with you. It is saying you are always part of my life. I am part of your journey. If you ever need me, I desire to keep friends. I desire keeping the relationships that were there, or if there was a mentoring that you're like, you know what, are you still there for me? I am, because it's, again, it's not packing up my toys and leaving. It is merely saying that God is saying this season has ended, and next week we're going to talk about what does that look like in the waiting. Mm-hmm. When you know it has ended, but now all the processing, really. And there's more things to go into that. And so we want to talk about that next week on there.
If you are also stuck on the need for permission, again, that is why it is so important to bring people into your journey. Mm-hmm. Because while we can give ourselves permission sometimes, mm-hmm. it can be so incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. To have somebody else to talk to mm-hmm. with this here.
And one thing I just want to say here, you do wonder how people are going to take it. You mm-hmm. do wonder if they're going to be angry at you, if they're going to cut you off, which I'm sure that will be some of the cases. That's just life.
I guarantee that's going to be some of the
cases.
That
is just life. But I do believe that people who really know you and who are on a healthy journey are going to respond in kind towards you. And the few people that I did tell, I'm not going to use names because there's really no need to.
No.
But what I have appreciated about that and all the stirring that was going on me and the anxiety, fear of actually speaking it out loud of what mm-hmm. I have been going through for, well, over a year, how it started, mm-hmm. of being able to actually sit face to face with people and tell them, was so hard and it felt so final. But what I can tell you, the grace of the people mm-hmm. that I spoke with and their love for me and their love for the ministry of saying, you know what, Denise, we'll miss that particular ministry mm-hmm. here and we'll miss you, but we know other people need what you have.
And I think I can say that I've seen that in some of the people that I've told. If people are for you, mm-hmm. more than likely they will be sad to see you go. Mm-hmm. But they're also going to be happy for you that God mm-hmm. is taking you to a new place on your journey. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you would be in the same condition as them.
Yeah.
So we are going to be ending things here. Thank you again for, well, do you want to do the tagline here?
Or? Well, I want to thank you for welcoming us back into yeah. your hearts, onto your we'll phones. Be polite. Radios in your car that you're blue, you know, you're streaming, you know, whatever the case may be. Thank you for just believing in us. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's been amazing to me that even though we've been silent for 10 months, mm-hmm. that people are still listening, yeah. which tells me that there is value. The numbers are numbers, but it's like what it means is it's meeting needs in people that more than likely I will never meet. They're all over the country. They're all over the world. We've had so many people that have been listening to us that aren't even from the U.S., that aren't from the Midwest. And so it just says that people are needing what we are providing. So we're going to keep providing it. Mm-hmm. And we thank you. Love you guys. And we appreciate your support. Thank you for listening to the first part of Transition. And to that, we will say, see you later, innovators.
Bye-bye.